Needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well,
welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back today on this typical Seattle spring day. And we have a very special guest, and we'll be talking once again today about dog poop. But in this...
Going to get the straight scoop on dog
that's
poop.
That's right. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's it may be a little sprinkly out there, but it's still perfect weather to take your dog for a walk.
It's an excellent day. I went on 2-hour-long walks already today. So,
oh, wow.
Yep. I was out with the dogs quite a bit, so good day.
Did you get the wiener dog a little poncho?
No, she didn't need it today.
Oh, okay.
No. It wasn't raining at the time. So we have today with us in the booth, Dr. Larry Green, founder of Bokashi Cycle. Welcome, Dr. Green.
Thank you very much, Julie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. And you have a very interesting system. And I found out about you guys at the Seattle Dog Show, which happened, about a month ago now, I guess, almost a month ago.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does. And you have this system that you can take dog poop and ferment it. And we'll talk more in detail about this.
Yes.
And turn it into something that you can add to your soil to add nutrients and make the soil healthy.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And that might frighten a few people because they hear they shouldn't add things like dog poop to the soil.
Yeah.
And we are stressing that there is great value if you process this properly, but we specify also for ornamental plants.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because we're concerned that if somebody doesn't follow the directions properly, they might have a problem if they put it into a vegetable garden. But from a scientific perspective, once you ferment the material, it's turned into something very valuable that feeds your plants and also the soil microbes.
So if you were the one using it and you knew it was used correctly, that it would be, you would feel comfortable putting it in a vegetable garden?
Personally, I would, but I think that just common sense says that an ornamental garden is a safe place to be.
Yeah.
And there's so much other waste material that can be processed in the same manner that's good for your vegetable garden. And we actually promote both methods for food waste as well as dog poop or cat waste to process these and feed your garden.
Yeah. So you have these, you know, you brought some of your props here to kind of show. Even the listeners can't see. Now, you've got some buckets. And so how does this work?
Well, it's actually very simple. And the beauty of the process is microbes are doing the work for you. And so what we provide is a pair of fermenters, and I'll explain a little bit why you need two. One fermenter is not adequate. So what you're doing is you're adding the waste material to the bucket, if you will, that's designed in such a way that it completely seals up to exclude oxygen. So every day you add to the system that has a fluid and a powder of microbes that have been added and mixed together, a soup, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You add the poop or the cat waste to this system, and then you seal it up. The next day you do the same thing, and you do this day after day until it's full, and then you leave that fermenter completely sealed until you filled the second one. When the second one is almost full, you'll empty the first one into a pit in the garden, mixing it very well with the soil. And I think one of the most amazing and fascinating things is not only is the smell taken away almost immediately when you put it into the system because it starts breaking down by the action of the microbes, but the soil microbes immediately take effect and will destroy all of the, what I call gravy. It's actually a kind of a unsightly process, and it would scare you to watch somebody doing it at first. But the fascinating thing is the smell is gone. Mm. And what you're dealing with is an end product that looks just like soil, very rich, but very rich in nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium. And that's great for the plants.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one other thing that I really want to stress that's important to appreciate here, too. And this has to do with the basic chemistry. Microbes in the soil are extremely valuable. They're natural, and they feed your plants. They've been diminished and pretty much destroyed by all the chemicals, pollutants, pesticides, fertilizers that we tend to use in our ornamental gardens, and that's why our plants don't do very well. When you start processing animal waste, cat or dog waste, and you get rid of those pesticides and fertilizers and no longer use them, not only do you see vibrant plants come out of this, and they are much healthier, but because you've restored the natural microbes in the soil by feeding them products that are not chemicals and contaminants, by expanding that population, you make the plants healthier and more resistant to infection by plant pathogens. And that's partly because you've expanded and restored the population of soil microbes.
Mm-hmm.
So I get excited about it because it's a great way to handle waste and turn it into something that's useful and valuable. And I think the thing that's probably very frustrating for a lot of pet owners is they're not given good alternatives to what to do. And we have a real dilemma because we know there's a danger in the community, and we're more and more aware of the water problem, the groundwater contamination. In the Pacific Northwest, we see Puget Sound has had many problems, and what are you supposed to do with your dog waste?
Mm-hmm.
If you wrap it in a plastic bag and throw it into the garbage can, which is what a lot of people end up having to do, they don't like it. They know where it's going. It's going to end up in a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the fact that it's going to be there for a long time producing methane, which is a greenhouse gas, that plastic is not a nice thing to have in the landfill. And I just think that it's nice to employ natural solutions, microbes, and get away from the things that we know are a problem, plastic bags, methane, landfills. And why send something off somewhere else where it will contaminate things when you can process it, turn it into something valuable for your plants?
Yeah, and benefit from it. And that's something that, you know, we joke about dog poop, but it for a pet owner, you know, and especially like myself, I have three dogs. It's a daily issue. I mean, it's dog poop every day because the dogs poop every day. So we have to scoop it or we have to pick it up and we have to do something with it. We can't just leave it in the yard.
Right.
We have to pick it up and clean the yard. But then where is it going? And I think I read that in some counties and going to be more and more counties that they're going to stop accepting big bags full of dog poop. You can't just put it out with your trash. So then it's going to be like, well, now what do I do with it?
You are raising a really interesting point here. And this is the most amazing thing that surprised me very much as I started looking at this in greater detail, asking the question, what are you supposed to do? And what are the official positions on this? If you go to the internet and you search by county in the state of Washington, for example, you'll find that every other county has a completely different recommendation. Cities, city to city, have different recommendations. The health department has a recommendation that's inconsistent with what the state's recommendations are. For example, the state of Washington says, and I think accurately, we want to keep pet waste out of the water supply. Do not put it down the toilet or into the city water supply. Don't put it into the runoff where it ends up in the bay or the sound. The health department will tell you that you should bury it. Well, if you bury it and it rains, as it does here frequently, mm-hmm. it's going to end up out in the sound.
Yeah.
So there is no consistent advice. What's the right thing to do? And I think that's the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to some public or what you might consider to be official sites like the Humane Society,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised to find the Humane Society flushes it down the sewer.
Mm.
The worst place I can think of putting it. One of the things that we know about pet waste, for example, with cats, it's toxoplasmosis. With dogs, there are a number of other parasites. Roundworms, of course, is a common one worldwide that affects children. Serious infection, we don't even know what the incidence is in many cases, but it is troublesome and a problem. We know that these things should not go in the soil and not be destroyed. We know that they shouldn't go into the water supply. So that makes the argument for the landfill, but with the landfill, we're producing methane gas.
Mm-hmm. Well, now this process will actually take care of, like, let's say the dog has worms. It would kind of digest or what I guess you said pickle. It's like a pickling process.
Yes, actually, that's a pretty good description. Fermenting under the conditions that we employ, and I want to stress it's called technically acidic anaerobic fermentation, mm-hmm. which means that it's not at a neutral pH, it's an acidic pH with oxygen excluded. That is a very toxic condition for a number of pathogens. Either they can't survive the lack of oxygen or they can't survive the lack of oxygen and the acidity. But there's another feature that comes into play that turns out to be important with regards to parasites.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with the breakdown of the metabolic products. That, in other words, the waste materials that's being digested produces a number of small molecules that are toxic to the parasites. That's the beauty of the natural process. And in fact, that's what happens in nature when it's sort of allowed to be as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
The nature has a way of taking care of itself. And that's what we're trying to get back to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more in depth about the chemistry of how this works. And and I look forward to kind of diving into this, I guess, so
great.
To speak. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
That white dog poo from the 70s. It went away as mysteriously as it came.
Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Whatever. Alternative Talk 1150.
Dog poo from the 70s. It went away as mysteriously.
Welcome
as
back
came.
To the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back today with Dr. Larry Green, founder and owner of Bokashi Cycle. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about a very interesting fermenting process, an acidic anaerobic fermenting process, to be precise, that transforms your dog poop into basically something you can add to your soil to replenish its microbes and add nutrients to it.
That's correct.
So this is, I think, just so needed, and with the population of dogs these days and how popular they are, and that people, you know, what are people doing with their poop if they're picking it up, which they should be. But they're going into bags that are basically making little methane bombs in landfills and releasing methane gas into the environment and also entering the groundwater. So now, what about, a question I had with this sort of visual of these little plastic poop bags that are sealed tight. Now, what about biodegradable bags?
Well, that's a really great question. We hear a lot about this, and of course, many people use the plastic polyethylene bags they get from Walmart or Safeway or whatever store they shop at, but they've become more aware that those aren't going to disappear, and so they've been told that there are biodegradable bags. And this is the other fascinating thing about our environment. Obviously, you don't believe everything you're told. And when you look at the composition of these bags, there are basically two kinds. One is the starch, cornstarch bag, and another one is called polyvinyl alcohol. Now, these bags are actually made up, and I won't get too complicated on the chemistry here, but they're made up of long polymers of plastic that do not degrade, that are cross-linked so they can make a bag with cornstarch and polyvinyl alcohol, other materials that are known to break down with water. If you actually look at the chemistry, these bags are designed to be used in commercial compost sites, which means they require high temperature and a long period of time, up to 6 months, to actually break down. But even when they break down, what they're really doing is they're leaving long strands, you can think of it like spaghetti, in the soil that are non-degradable polymers. Mm-hmm. So the bag has disappeared, but the plastic polymers now are in your water supply and in the soil. And nobody really knows the long-term consequences of those. But I can tell you, I don't think it's going to be healthy, and I certainly don't want to be digging in the garden and taking a bite of food that may have strands of polymers all over it, and who knows what other plasticizers are in there.
Yeah, and not only the plastic that it leaves, but the poop itself is
exactly.
still in the bag.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah, opening that up too. So now we were talking about what is dog poop? I mean, what are the microorganisms actually digesting, I guess?
Well, this is another good question, and it's a little bit different in dogs and cats from ruminants because of the way their intestinal tract and the stomach works. Now,
and a ruminant is like a cow or an animal
correct.
That's designed to digest cellulose.
What's interesting about the ruminants, and you said the magic word cellulose, probably 40 to 50% of the material that is organic on the planet is composed of cellulose. You can think of it as like paper.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really is a very complex polymer of sugars. But it's hard to digest unless you have the right conditions for it. Now, when a dog or a cat eats a meal, they will take down the easy stuff to digest, proteins, sugar, simple sugars, and a lot of other materials that are relatively small molecules. But what ends up in the waste material, the majority of it is cellulose. Now, along with that cellulose, of course, are microbes that were in their GI tract. And the microbes are made up of a lot of proteins. They have carbohydrates and proteins. So that's where nitrogen comes from in the poop, if you will. Mm. If you actually look at the urine or the poop, it has about almost 1% of nitrogen in it, which is a high amount of nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rich. It has a lot of potassium and it has a lot of phosphates. But it's in an area that is hard to get at. The dog can't break it down, so it passes through as a fiber material. You can think of it that way. And so the question is, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, that's valuable stuff. It's got a lot of energy in it. It came from plants. It's organic in nature, and it can be, with microbes, quickly and easily broken down.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the time of breaking things down, I think it's important, too, because sometimes people say, well, can't I just compost my poop? Well, if you ever tried it, it makes a real mess and it doesn't go away. If you bury it in the ground, it won't go away. But if you ferment it, in other words, pickle it, two-step process, pickle it first, then feed it to the microbes, takes about 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it all down to basic elements.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fun part, the exciting part. And the great thing about microbes, they work 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They never get tired. They do two things. They eat and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do, is show you that there's a good way of cleaning up the water, cleaning up the soil, getting plants back, getting rid of the noxious odors, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and doing something that you feel good about.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of related topics that I want to point out here. One is regarding the cellulose in the pet waste. And the important thing to understand, and anyone who's listened to this show has probably heard me talk about food and the pet food industry and nutrition, and how most of the foods available on the market, especially the big name brands that are sponsoring all the dog events, that have a lot of money to spend on advertising, are usually the worst ones on the market. And the reason, one of the reasons, is because they're using a lot of filler, which is not digestible cellulose. Corn, you know, all of these different grains. So the dogs end up having voluminous, stinky poop, all the fiber soaking up water on its way out. And so the dog that is fed a lower quality food is actually going to have more waste that you're going to have to deal with, in addition to the fact that they're not going to be as healthy. So a kind of another side note to this is that if you feed a healthy food, especially like a raw or cooked food diet, like from the natural pet pantry, your dog or cat is actually going to poop a lot less. May not be good news for the microbes, because there's going to be less cellulose. But you know, it's just kind of a tie-in for this as well.
Actually, Julie, the microbes are not very finicky. They'll take almost anything they can get. The great thing and fascinating thing about nature and microbes in general is they're starving. And so they don't need much to feed on, they just need nutrients. And mm-hmm. if you've given them something that has energy, and I think your point's a good one, feeding a higher quality material to the dog actually is going to help the dog, but he's still not going to be able to absorb all of the material that's there, and that's going to feed the microbes.
Yep.
They're not picky.
Yep. Your dog will continue to poop no matter what they eat.
That's right.
You know, another interesting point, too, is kind of going back a little bit when you're talking about the soil, and that there's so many angles that this is beneficial, but what it's doing is it's basically adding nutrients and vitality, if you will, back into the soil so that it doesn't need pesticides, which,
right.
You know, is similar to, we were talking about the healthy dog that isn't going to need, and you shouldn't use anyway, but isn't going to need like a topical pesticide for fleas.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a similar parallel there.
Right. Generally speaking, and I just have to say it's an observation. I can't explain why it is, but diversity in nature is an extremely valuable event. And when we have a wide diversity, in other words, when we feed the soil microbes and let them reestablish wide populations, they keep things in check. They feed the plants become healthier because there are many microbes now that are in the soil competing for all the nutrients that are coming to the soil so they can feed them to the plants. There are fewer spaces left for pathogens to come in and attack the plants. And this is also true of animals and humans as well. When you feed them well, when their immune system is strong and they are healthy because of the nutrients they get, they tend to defend themselves much more efficiently. And it isn't just because of the immune response. It's because you've made this. It's like the gut. If the dog's gut is well colonized with, let's say, natural microbes, they're going to digest and get better nutrients out of the material they consume, and they're going to stay healthier.
You know, one thing that struck me when you said variety was the word balance.
Yeah.
And the variety to me means balance. So
balance is the key word. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard to define. If there's any one thing that I think we're learning is how little we know about soil, about plants, and literally the interaction between different life forms. And nature has, I use the term nature, but I use it because it's the simplest way to describe that balance, what should be there and what works best.
Now, we were talking about cellulose, and that the main thing with this is that the microorganisms are able to break down the cellulose, and they're broken down by an enzyme that they produce, and which is cellulase.
Correct.
So how do the microorganisms produce this enzyme?
Well, they've actually over literally millions of years evolved and survived because they have the ability to, under certain appropriate conditions, rapidly produce an enzyme that can feed them, if you will, by breaking down these polymers of sugar, which is what cellulose is. Now, I think one of the most interesting things about microbes is how they can lay dormant and then in a matter of minutes to hours awaken and produce the machinery, if you will, to break down the cellulose so they feed themselves and expand the population while the feast is on. Sometimes I make the analogy when we talk about fermenting waste, it's very akin to being a cook and preparing a buffet for the soil. You're letting the microbes do the hard work, and now you're feeding all that nutrient material to restore soil and get rid of the waste. Same thing's happening in the gut for the animal.
So let's take a break, and when we come back, if you have time to stay with us, I'd like to talk more about how this actually works, like what this is actually going to look like for the dog owner.
That'd be great.
All right, so we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your Pet Cycle system today.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Hi, I'm Vicky St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Next week, Vicky's joined by two Harvard neuroscientists to talk about what's really going on in the brain of a winner.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Eric, you always do such a wonderful job each week of finding the appropriate songs to go with the topics.
Sometimes it's hard, but when it's dog poo, you know, but I found a couple things.
Yeah. Now, we have a call coming in, but Darcy, our call screener, is out sick today, so we'll hopefully be able to pick that up. But we, I want to talk with you, Dr. Green. We're back with Dr. Larry Green, owner and founder of Bokashi Cycle. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And wanted to talk with you about how this is actually going to look for a dog owner, because I can think of a couple questions that I have myself, you know, in trying to picture how this is actually going to work for me. I have three dogs, one dachshund, so she's not producing as much poop as the cattle dogs, but... But you've got these buckets, and then you've got this big bottle of liquid, and then you've got this bag of like
culture
wheat,
mix.
Culture mix. Okay, so it looks like wheat germ, right?
It is wheat bran.
Okay, wheat bran. So how? So I'm my dog's poop, and I'm in the backyard shoveling the poop.
Right.
How does this happen?
The system actually is very simple to operate. We have instructions that come with the fermenting process. And essentially, it goes like this. You place a liquid, 2 gallons of water, into one of the fermenters, and then you add 3 cups of the what we call accelerant. And that's the material that gets the pH and the sugars right to wake up the microbes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sprinkle onto the surface of the fluid, the culture mix.
Mm-hmm.
From that point on, every day when you have dog poop, you just throw it into the bucket. You don't have to stir it. You don't have to do anything with it. Just add it. You'll notice the smell disappears almost immediately as soon as it enters the solution.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, you seal it down. Now, the way it's designed, that will accommodate up to about 15 pounds of waste material. A rule of thumb is an average dog, if we can define what an average dog is, which is actually pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
A dachshund versus some giant dog certainly wouldn't be a very good comparison. But the average dog is said to make about a half to three quarters of a pound of waste a day. So you can do the math, and it just turns out that you can put 15 pounds in. I know from experience that an 80-pound dog in this cycle will fill a system about every 2 weeks. Now, if you'll recall, the way the process works is that you fill the system up and then seal it while you work on the second system, giving the first system time to complete its fermentation with no oxygen ever entering the system.
Mm-hmm.
Needs at least 7 days to complete that process. So you can process 15 pounds just with a starter system every week on average.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the beauty of the process is that to buy more time, if you will, in other words, to give enough time for the fermentation to be complete, all you need to do is add another reservoir. Now, you might say, why don't you give me a 10-gallon fermenter or a 50-gallon fermenter? Well, as you get bigger and bigger, it gets heavier and heavier, and somebody's got to pick that up and carry it out to the garden and bury it.
Right.
So that's the key. We've tried to make it simple, compact. It can be moved around any place you go. It doesn't get stuck in one spot so that you're not near it. You can actually even take it on a trip if you were on a trip and process it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to make it simple and expand as you need. And that just depends on the owner, their dogs, and how many pets they have.
Mm-hmm. So now is it... So I know it takes 7 days in the bucket and then another 7 days mixed with or buried in under a foot of soil. So
yes.
Is that 7 days after the last deposit of poop has entered it?
Yes. 7 days to complete the fermentation after the last poop was put into it is the formula that we recommend. We've actually done quite a bit of research in this area, and we've been very conservative. In fact, within 3 days from putting it in the soil, it's completely gone. If you dig down through the area where you buried the treasure, if you will, it's no longer recognizable. There's no change in color. There's no odor at all.
Mm.
In fact, it just looks like a rich, loamy soil.
Mm-hmm. Does it look like soil when it's done fermenting in the tub?
No. When it's when it comes out of the fermenter, it really looks ugly in the sense that it best way I can describe it is like a gravy.
But it doesn't smell like a poop gravy.
There's a little bit of what I call eau de dog. So if you mix it around and stick your head right down and take a big sniff, and I have people that do that. They say, I can't believe it's all gone. They're curious.
Yeah.
But there's a trace depending on the time of year. As it gets warmer, of course, it metabolizes and breaks down much more quickly. In the dead of winter, it will slow down. In fact, the fermenting process can slow down as much as 15% when it's just near freezing.
Yeah.
Which actually brings up one important point that we probably ought to just touch on. What do you do if you live in a really cold place where, 3 or 4 months a year it's frozen?
Yeah.
You're not going to be out digging in the garden.
Yeah.
It's easy to take the fermented material and just transfer it to a large container, and it doesn't matter that it gets frozen. I mean, you may not like the looks of the container, but put a lid on it. Wait till it warms up in the spring or the ground is soft, then just shovel it in and mix it around. It'll be gone within about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. So now I love this idea. I mean, because I dispose of a lot of dog poop every week and it goes to the dump.
Yep.
And I know that one, that's not going to be an option anymore. And two, I don't like doing that because I know, but it's like, what else do I do? So this is great. I'm not a gardener.
Right.
And, I have a bed of roses just in the front of the house, which isn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that, I'll have monster roses if I start using this. But can I just, I do live next to a green belt, so I do have some land where, can I just go to the same hole and just dump it in?
Yes.
Can I dump it in my compost bin?
You should not put it in a compost bin. If you put it in a compost bin, you're going to end up with a real problem.
Okay.
First, it'll get foul. And compost doesn't have the same microbes that are in the soil. But you're absolutely correct. You can put it in the same area over and over and over again. It's surprising how absorbing the ground will be.
Well, it's starving for the nutrients, I would imagine.
So, yeah. And the microbes are extremely rapid at turning it over. Most of what's in the waste, aside from the cellulose, is water. And once you've taken the pathogens out, the water is going to go where it always goes. Mm. It's going to end up in the water supply. And the nice thing about this is when you start doing this, you can feel good about the fact that you're not putting a burden on the city.
Mm-hmm.
You're not polluting the water purification tables and systems that are used. Water is a precious resource. We need to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. So where can people get this the system?
Well, we have, of course, we have a website, www.bokashicycle.com, and they can order directly online. But we're also now selling in Canada and all across the United States. We're just going retail. We don't have a lot of stores that have taken it up as yet. We're just starting to approach them. We've been out for a little over 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do our research and get a lot of data behind us so that we were comfortable with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's going to be a very good product.
So are you retailing in lawn and garden stores or in pet stores?
We're approaching All of the above.
Yeah.
It turns out that, of course, there are a lot of large chain stores like PetSmart, Petco, that are always looking for good products.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what's a little bit difficult when you come out with a new concept or an alternative is people just don't understand the science or they've never heard about it before.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about the pet waste system is that everyone knows there's a problem and they don't have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's much easier for retailers to see this as a product that they can really understand has value. But right now, the easiest way to get it is right online. We've made it very simple. As long as you've got a credit card and you're not adverse to ordering things online,
mm-hmm.
that's very fast and simple. And for those that don't have a credit card or I would rather send a check or don't want to order online, they can actually open up and get a form that they can mail directly and get a system.
Mm-hmm. And that website is www.bokashicycle.com, and that's also on the Dog Talk Show website on the homepage, as well as a sidebar ad will be up in just a day or two that you can click on. That will take you directly to the website as well, so you can get that information from the Dog Talk Show website as well, which is dogtalkshow.com. So how much is, you know, like the liquid and the, is that tub one systems worth?
As you would see on the website, you start out with a system that comes with two fermenters, enough Bokashi culture mix, which is the wheat bran mix in bags that are sealed, and a gallon of accelerant. The gallon of accelerant is concentrated. I would say that the starter kit would average 6 months to even as long as a year for somebody that has a smaller dog or not a huge giant. If you have a larger dog, of course, you'll be going through material a little bit more rapidly, but it's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide the accelerant and the culture mix on orders as you need them. You can send and get a refill.
Mm-hmm. So is that amount, was that a gallon?
Yes, that's a gallon of accelerant that we have here. And we have three packets of 400 grams of the culture mix. That accelerant is concentrated. You only use 3 cups of the accelerant for an entire fermenting system.
Okay.
So it goes a very long way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of little minor things in the instructions. For example, we have a spritz bottle, if you will, with the instructions that each time you open the system, you spray some of the diluted accelerant onto the surface. The purpose of that is to maintain conditions ideal for fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting about pet waste. When it goes to the GI tract, it actually becomes very alkaline. And because of that alkalinity, that's part of the reason why it won't break down very fast. So by, let's say, acidifying it and getting the right microbes present, that's what really accelerates the process.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, it's a wonderful system. I highly recommend that people go to the website and check it out and order it. All of you dog and cat owners. Now, can it have kitty litter in it too?
Yes, kitty litter is another interesting topic. But kitty litter will go fine. But you should, if you have the clumpy clay litter, get rid of most of the clay, if you will, before you toss it in. But even if there's some clumping on there, that won't hurt. It'll just end up as an inert product
mm-hmm.
in the soil. Ideally, if you really want to have the best, what I would say is the better kitty litter, you would use more organic derived materials, either from paper, which is cellulose, by the way, or they have various other types of kitty litter that are organic that you
wheat
can use.
Wheat or corn-based or
yeah,
something corn like
base
that.
Yeah, corn-based is excellent.
Okay. Well, again, that is www.bokashicycle, B-O-K-A-S-H-I, cycle.com. And again, all that information is on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. Wonderful system and a wonderful thing you're doing for the environment. It's been great to have you on the show and to let people know about this. And I encourage everybody to order a system and get this going for you and your own pets. And even better if you have an ornamental garden, because your soil will thank you for it too. So, Dr. Green, wonderful to have you on the show today. Thanks for coming and bringing the system to show me how it works. And
it's my pleasure.
Yeah. So, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's a Sandy and Martha Sunday, and that means Sandy will join me in the studio for open phone lines. So plan to call us with all your animal behavior training and healing questions. Plus, we've got a brilliant new product. If you've got dogs and like to take them in the car with you, you're going to want it. So join us to hear all about it on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat?
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We were just talking with Dr. Larry Green, founder and owner of Bokashi Cycle. We were talking about how you can ferment your dog or cat's poop and actually turn it into a nutrient-rich gravy that you can add into the soil and in even soil for an ornamental garden to grow.
It makes its own gravy.
It does. But it really greatly reduces the smell, and so thinking of poop gravy, it's really not as bad as that may sound.
It sounds pretty bad.
Yep, and
it's not.
And I have a new system to try for my own dogs. I've got two cattle dogs and a dachshund, and we're going to start making poop gravy at home with Bokashi Cycle, and I will let you know how that goes on a weekly basis. And we are fortunate, too, to have some land. But I'm excited to see how my roses look this year, because that's going to be excellent.
It'll be like roses on steroids.
Seriously. So now I do have some announcements that I wanted to make sure to talk about this week, some exciting things that have been happening in the area. And then people send me some interesting emails about various things that I did want to talk about, too, in the several minutes that we have left. Quick announcements, the Natural Pet Pantry, they have their next cooking class, their pet food cooking class, is this Monday, April 12th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and that's at their shop in Burien. And for more information about that or to contact them, you can visit their website, which is naturalpetpantry.com. You can also go to the Dog Talk Show website and find information on that, or call 206-248-1079. And the topic this week is going to be gourmet diets. And it's not like gourmet, like accessory. It's like creating palatable diets for dogs who need to be encouraged to eat but food that is going to agree with their system, whether they have a sensitive system or have an illness. Some exciting news. I didn't get to go last weekend, but there's a new program through the American Kennel Club called AKC Canine Partners Program. And they are opening a competition, obedience and agility and rally to mixed breed dogs. So you and your mixed breed can now compete with the American Kennel Club at a AKC event. And Washington State actually held this past weekend at Magnuson Park. The Washington State Obedience Training Club held a obedience and rally competition, and they had some mixed breeds there. And some of them actually won their groups. So I see there were six mixed breed dogs entered in the Novice A Obedience class. And the class winner on both days was a mixed breed dog. And there was a total entry of 23 dogs in the Novice B Obedience class, including three mixed breeds, and all three mixed breed dogs qualified. And there's more information if you want to check out details. You can go to the American Kennel Club website, which is akc.org, and just click on the AKC Canine Partners program details, and then they'll have club information and listening information. But it's just wonderful that, you know, people with mixed breed dogs can compete with their dogs in agility, in competition obedience, in rally, which are just all really great things to do with your dog. And to open that up to mixed breeds is just great. So I look forward to hearing more about that in the future. Wanted to let people know we do have some advertising space still available on the show, but the spots are going fast. Low, low rates that are affordable for local small businesses, as well as sponsorship opportunities. If you're interested in advertising your business or product on the Dog Talk Show, you can email me directly at host@dogtalkshow.com. Again, that is host@dogtalkshow.com for more information and to claim your spot in the pack. You can also subscribe to the Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes, that's me, on iTunes, and automatically receive all the episodes on your personal computer and listen anytime. So if you just go to iTunes and go to the podcast section and search Dog Talk Show, you'll see us. And then you can click on our page and hit subscribe. So if you've missed any of our past shows or you'd like to listen again, you can go to iTunes and download us for free as a free podcast, which is great. And that's been brand new as of, I think, 3 weeks ago. Very exciting. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We have a Dog Talk Show Facebook page and also a Twitter account. That's Dog Talk Show. Now, there, I get some interesting things, and I emailed this to Eric so that you, Eric, were able to take a look at this disturbing thing.
I did see this.
I'm going to post a link to this on the Dog Talk Show website.
Uh-huh.
But there is a... basically, like, it looks like a washing machine, and you put your dog in it, and it's an automated dog wash machine.
Yeah. The worst part is the spin cycle. Actually, I mean, thankfully there is no spin cycle.
But there might as well be. I don't like this. I do not like this. Just because we can do this doesn't mean that we should do this.
Right.
And it was on BBC News. I'll post the link so that you can watch the video of this. But it's a 35-minute long process. And you literally put your dog into this machine. You open it up like it was a front-loading washing machine. It doesn't spin around.
Thankfully, yeah.
But
stationary.
It's stationary. But it sprays the dog with water and then sprays him with shampoo and then rinses him off and then dries him. And I just got this sick feeling when I saw it. She puts this little poodle in the thing. I mean, imagine the dog's experience. And
the poodle did not look happy.
No, the dog's like, "What are you doing?" And then it's jumping up on the door, and right. She pushes this button that says "dog" on the screen. And then all of a sudden, it just starts dumping water on the dog, and the dog's just in there. Oh, I can't stand it.
Well, we should just point out that there's just a few of these, and so far it's only in Japan. right now. We'll see if they make their way over here. But dogs generally don't like taking a bath, in my experience.
Well,
anyway,
I just don't trust it. I mean, you know, if you just bathe your dog or take him to a groomer or a daycare or somewhere that offers baths or the self-washing one, but to put them in an automated thing like that for a half an hour, it just does not sit well with me. So I'm going to post a link to that on the website so you can check that out. We have much more to talk about. We're going to have next week the National Agility Champion from Sumner, Washington on the show, as well as other very interesting and important topics to talk about. So tune in next week, Wednesday, from 2 to 3 p.m. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.